Hi Lee, welcome to the show. Can you
Hello.
introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you and your job role?
Yeah, sure. Well, my name's Lee. I am an artist manager. I started my own company independently about 3 years ago. I currently live in Amsterdam, where I moved at the time. And over here, I manage a roster of, we'll say, 5 to 6 acts because, recently one of my acts decided he wanted to also delve into the world of beat making and production. So yeah, I manage a number of artists, songwriters, producers, all living in the Netherlands, but all writing in English.
How did you get into managing artists then?
Well, it wasn't something that I knew much about actually originally. So I like at school, I was very much creative with music. So I was in bands, I was writing music, playing music. I went to uni, telling a long story here, well, I'll tell it quickly. But I went to uni, which was very much a production like course. There was like 50% theory, but half the time was spent in the studio, like learning the techniques of recording, producing. There was a songwriting module. And yeah, after uni, I graduated. Like my dissertation was writing my own album and recording it. So yeah, all these people who have to write 10,000 or 20,000 words. I had slightly more fun, although I had buried that album somewhere for it never to be heard. So, but yeah, after uni, I left and just thought the next thing was go back to London, where I'm from, and try and get an internship somewhere. And I just fired out a bunch of like CVs and stuff, looking for something in studios. But also, I just started sending them to labels as well. And like, where else did I send them? Like to PR companies where I had my first internship, which lasted 2 days. So yeah, I found out the world of PR and press wasn't for me. But yeah, I just ended up interning at a label, and the boss there, it was a label called Gronwand. And yeah, the boss there was also a manager, and he was just like a proper mentor to me for the first 3 months, or for the 3 months I was there, and took me under his wing. Taught me a lot of stuff about label stuff, but also about like what he did as a manager and stuff. So I kind of got the bug a little bit and was quite intrigued about, just like the world of management and what it involved. It sounded very non-specific, the job. So like you had to wear a lot of hats, so you had to do a lot of different things, but you were also, I don't know, for me, I always wanted to be in a band. I wanted to be producing music. And I wasn't maybe probably the most talented at any of that stuff, but this was sort of being in the band, but without playing an instrument, without producing. You were, the success of the your success was dependent on the success of the band or the artist. So yeah, after that internship, I ended up working for a very small, like kind of management company that did some events as well, and again worked very closely with one other manager. And yeah, just I was very lucky starting off that I got to work so closely in such a small team and to be really hands-on with like management, label stuff as well. We booked a few showcases for in my second job. And yeah, then I think from there I was like sod the production side of things, or trying to be in a band myself, like this management thing is like really the direction I want to go. So I was again very fortunate after that to end up at a management company. So instead of it being just one or two managers working on one or two acts, this was a team of like 8 people, Riverman management, who looked after Placebo, they still do, and a bunch of other like kind of bigger acts. And yeah, from there I was there for 9 years, which was again maybe quite a rarity. I guess like a few people do jump around and maybe switch roles within the industry, or they might work in labels, but or like work at labels or publishers originally and then move into management. But no, for me, I yeah just was very lucky to work with two very hands-on managers at the start of my career and then get pulled into a bigger company where I just like soaked it all up, to be honest, and kind of learned how to look after new up-and-coming acts. And also, with the bigger acts, it is a different type of management where, the train's already running. You need to just make sure it keeps going in that direction and, add support where you can. So yeah, that's how it came about. It wasn't something I decided at 16, or I didn't just suddenly start managing a band at 18 by accident. It was, yeah, I guess a failed career in being an artist, which I think is quite a maybe a common thing with some other managers.
Yeah, and everyone else in the music industry,
Yeah,
I
exactly. Don't worry, I still have my guitars around. I still play a little bit. The faint dream that someday something might happen, but
So It sounds like there was kind of a massive learning curve being in the midst of like a management company. Do you think that's the best way people who are looking to get into management would learn?
No, not at all, to be totally honest. I mean, I worked with I worked with plenty of other managers there, but also there were two kind of newer managers, so they were managing the newer acts, and both their backgrounds were very different to mine. One had not gone to uni at all, you know, to study music. He, I think, started working at Riverman a couple of years before me, and he literally just went in not knowing a lot about management or and the music industry and just immersed himself in it there and took it upon himself to like learn his thing. There's another manager who I think he came from a background of working at labels, and he also worked for like merch companies, and then working in management was he was brought in to support a certain part of one of our band's like ecosystems, and in the end, after 2 years, he was managing his own acts there. So I don't feel like there's a best path for learning how to be a manager. I think everyone's a little bit different in the sense that some people might be a little bit more proactive and have a little bit more get up and go. And I know managers who at 18 were going to gigs, like, you know, meeting the bands, you know, really networking as much as humanly possible to kind of build up their, I guess, their education with management and their contact list and their network. And then there might be some other people, I think maybe about like me and the star, that needs a close mentor to really kind of take them under their wing. You know, I definitely, at the start of my career, networking was not a big like thing that I was good at. It wasn't something that I enjoyed, something that I slowly kind of, you know, you learn how to do. And I think as managers, everyone has their weak or things they think they should be better at, and also their strong points. And it's just, yeah, while I definitely benefited from being at a management company for 9 years, I mean, yeah, it is just, it's a great place to like soak up the experience of other managers. And, you know, if you're not working on the bigger acts or certain acts that are, you know, gaining momentum or anything, it's still nice to be in the same room and like kind of vibing off. And yeah, I guess like being a sponge off the other managers. And yeah, again, you'll end up down the pub like occasionally on some days. So yeah, it's not the definite way you need to do it. But for me, working at a management company was definitely, I think, beneficial to get me where I am at the moment.
Yeah, that's awesome. And there's probably a little bit of support and being able to pick up some of those informal lessons around other people. So saying that, what does a typical day look like for you now? Because you're managing on your own now.
Yes. So a typical day for me, it is March 2021, so it still very much is COVID. So a typical day is pretty much the same day almost. But I'm very lucky in Amsterdam to have quite a nice space to work in at home, like a flat. I don't know if you can see here, but it overlooks a canal. Again, I'm very lucky. Very nice. So, but yeah, I've been trying to be quite strict, really. My working days are, like, it might sound silly, but yeah, getting up, not jumping straight into emails. I feel like that's quite an important thing, really. You know, even a few years ago, I used to sleep with my phone next to me in bed. So it used to be the last thing I looked at night, and the first thing I looked at in the morning was emails. And especially with like Corona and lockdown, I've learned to leave my phone away from my bed. Some managers might be like, oh my God, like, what happens if there's an emergency? Like, what are you going to do? But yeah, I don't know. I can definitely sleep better for it. And I don't know, especially with the way of the world at the moment, I think it's important to like definitely have a barrier between, like, you know, considering you work in your home at the moment, you need to have that barrier of like, right, this is work time and it starts at this time and it finishes at this time. So anyway, I take a bit of time to get ready in the morning, like make sure I'm properly prepared. But but yeah, at the moment it's very much, well, yeah, diving into emails. I have quite a substantial to-do list at the moment, because a number of my acts who had to put off their releases last year are releasing now. So there is a big to-do list, which, judging with the emails every morning, you kind of work out how to prioritize the day, what needs to be done, like ASAP, what can wait, what's coming up. Again, I usually jump into, especially in the morning, a few of the like data analytic websites, so like Spotify for Artists, example, Chartmetrics, Soundcharts. I don't know, they're just obviously key places to find the right date if you're at, especially if they're releasing. So every morning I have a check on that to see if there's any good news, if there's any not so good news. And yeah, from there, I mean, it's largely just, you know, getting stuff done. I don't know if I can swear, but let's say just getting stuff done at the moment and staying on top of things. Before COVID, there used to be a bit more time for face-to-face meetings and new business meetings. You know, again, I've only been in Amsterdam for, I've been here for 3 years. So networking is still quite a big part of like me getting to know the right people here. You know, I have, after 3 years, I've obviously got a, you know, a great grounding here, but there's certainly still a few individuals and companies I don't know. So when we are allowed to get up and about again, I'd, you know, do always try and make time for at least 2 new business meetings a week, like getting out, meeting new people. It's always just quite fun to meet new people and find their stories. And you never know, you know, how one relationship can lead on to another that can lead on to a, you know, a big opportunity for one of your acts, however long down the line. I try and be very careful about, you know, the world of management. There isn't a clock off time, really, especially if you have an artist who, especially at the early stages of their career, they might have a job. So they might only be able to, you know, clock on at 7 p.m. and have a look at an email from you about some content they need to make or, you know, a plan with a release. So although, you know, the world of management isn't like regimented in times and being able to clock off, I'm trying my best to, around about 6 o'clock, like try and slow things down a little bit and, yeah, just kind of make time for staying mentally like there.
Of course. And yeah, no, I agree with that. It's 24/7, right? So you've got to be able to have a bit of time for you, otherwise you're just going to go crazy. And also, if you're not looking after yourself, who's looking after you?
So yes, that's a very good point, actually. And you know, you are also dealing with, especially with me, like, you know, 7 to 8 individuals in my acts who all generally need some support as well. You know, it's all well and good supporting the projects and supporting the releases and, you know, trying to find the best path, you know, for your act to get to where they want to go to. But you're also dealing with emotions, you're dealing with disappointment, you know, and your artists will want you to be there to be like a shoulder to cry on, or like, you know, to chink a drink in, like, you know, in moments of celebration and stuff. As much as the workload can be quite, I can't think of the word, but full on as well, you are also like supporting a number of individuals. So I think it can be easy for managers to just become overrun with stuff and fail to be able to take a step back and just make sure that they're kind of keeping an eye on how they're feeling and how tired they are and how ultimately, yeah, how much they're dealing with stuff mentally.
Yeah, you're dealing with real life people. So
yeah,
like you're dealing with,
well, yeah, artists, right? Real life people. I don't know sometimes, but yeah, there's a few individuals.
Sure. So you manage some acts like Bungalow and Will Knox. And why these particular artists? What was it in particular that you chose these artists to work with?
Yeah, sure. Well, each one has a bit of a story, but I mean, like, I won't tell you all 5 stories because I imagine this podcast doesn't need to be like an hour long or anything. But I think first and foremost, for me, I was in a bit of a different situation when I moved over to Amsterdam. I guess just a bit of a backstory, because I didn't know that many people here at the time. I'd been to a couple of Eurosonics in the past, so I knew a handful of people. But for the Dutch industry, I know when I moved over, I needed to meet a lot more people, get to know the right people, get to know the wrong people as well, of course, to stay away from them, but also immerse myself in the music. And when I decided that I was going to start my own management set up here, I obviously needed to get some acts on board. So I don't know, I think I'm quite lucky here because Amsterdam has, and the Netherlands, to be honest, has like a great bunch of alternative music that's kind of like my go-to, really. And so there are bands here who are, you know, signed to indie labels, some might even be signed to majors here, some have got like a lot have got agents and they haven't got any management. So I at the very early stages, it was just going through a roster of a live agency here and came across Bungalow. And I guess to answer your question, the first thing that really draws me to acts is, and it might sound like a cliche, but it's the music. For me, especially starting out here, I like to start with being a fan of the music. Again, some managers might be like, well, you know, know, you can be a fan of music and not have to manage it. But I feel like if, you know, I'm representing my acts and, you know, we're on the look for new labels or new opportunities, you know, I want to be able to talk as passionately about the music as possible. And yeah, I find that a bit easier to do if I first and foremost really like what the act makes. And I think they make great music and they have something that they have a potential that they haven't achieved yet. And, you know, I can add value ultimately to getting them to where I think they should be. So I always start with the music so that I feel passionate about it. I can fight for it and be very, you know, honest about that. You know, if I'm talking to someone directly, you know, I'm not, you know, I think sometimes when you talk to managers and you can tell they're talking about something they're not passionate about, I think that, you know, can not look the best sometimes. So, and yeah, that's what it comes down to first and foremost. There does, for me, again, need to be a bit of, you just can't jump into working with acts who, oh, your music sounds great, let's go ahead and do it. Because there is a personal people behind the act as well. So they, for me, there has to be a good working relationship that I think after a 3-month probation, you can kind of get the gist of. So all my acts I get on well with personally, we understand the relationship together. You know, again, I've seen managers jump in with acts and after a few months just be like, oh my God, like I didn't know that they were going to be like this. We're not, you know, and not that there's a right and wrong person, but as a relationship and a team, you can, I don't know, fit together well or you can clash. So again, with my act, I'm very lucky. They're pretty good to me. They're all understanding. They all see the bigger picture. But I guess one thing I also look for is, especially in the early stages of taking on an act, is, yeah, sure, the music's great. I get on well with that person in general. One important thing for me is there has to be a work ethic behind it and an understanding that for an artist, having a manager come on board is obviously like a thing you should feel very proud about. It means, you know, you have someone outside of your inner circle and friends maybe who believes in your music. But it is, you know, this isn't, you can't take your foot off the gas. There has to be like a drive and a work ethic to get to where you want to go. Like a manager is there to support you and help suggest how you get there and set up the right meetings. But, you know, having a manager on board doesn't mean you kind of just push everything over to them or, you know, him or her and say, okay, cool, well, now make it happen for me, please. There needs to be, you know, a work ethic, you know, that's to create music, create content, hopefully as well, that's engaging, have an idea on branding. And it's not that you have to have these three things finished in order to get a manager, but I mean, there has to be the work ethic as well behind the scenes to, you know, achieve your potential as well with the support of your manager. So again, I'm quite lucky. My acts, yeah, when they need to get busy, they get busy. And yeah, they're very proactive and creative, and some are better than others. Don't get me wrong, no one's perfect. But yeah, that's always quite a big thing. Well, one of the big reasons why I ended up choosing the acts on my roster that I have.
No, that's cool. And that's important, I think, that partnership, really. So you guys are kind of coming into it, even though you might be coming from separate directions. There might be a more creative side for the artist, and perhaps there's a more business, you know, analytical side maybe from the manager. It's a partnership, and that you're on a level that it's not one directly leading the other, perhaps. So I think sometimes people get that wrong and they just look, they're looking for a manager, but what they really need is a PA.
Yeah.
I think you just need to just hire someone, okay? Like, just like do your social media or something. I don't know. So that's important. Which leads me to a question about when is the right time for artists to seek management? Like, when do you think would be that kind of tipping point for them?
When's the right time? Well, for me, it's, well, so I would say the right time to look for management is when you get yourself as an artist to a place where, again, you need or you would like someone to come in to add value. There are a lot of musicians or acts out there who think they've written the best music behind the scenes and think that is all that's needed. Hey, sometimes that might be the case if you're a real diamond, like in the rough or whatever. But really, for artists looking for managers, I would say the best thing you could do is ultimately get yourself into a situation where a manager's approaching you. That's kind of when you will know you're at the right level. And that isn't me sounding like a bit of a cop-out, but with the way the industry is at the moment, you can release your own music, you can create content like reasonably quite easily, socials can get started, and you can, I would say, do a few things yourself to get the ball rolling. If you're releasing music, you've got your brand on point, or you've got your socials on point, you're building a fan base, believe me, like, managers, you'll start receiving emails from managers knocking on your door, like being like, oh wow, like, I noticed this, that, the other, like, can we know a bit more, can we hear a bit new music, some more new music. Obviously that's not the only way to do it, but you might be the way I picked up some of my bands is because I've come across their socials, or I've come across a song of theirs and I've wanted to know more and I've dived in, rather than receiving a cold email of someone. Not the worst thing in the world, but you know, there's usually something that's not quite, there's not enough there. Like, the music might be okay, but there's no fan base, there's no socials, there's not a clear like branding or like direction of the act wants to go in. So it's a bit of a, hopefully it doesn't come across as a flaky as a flaky answer, but I would say the best way to find a manager is to firstly figure out what you want to do as an artist, the music you want to write, who you want to write with. Maybe you might have a couple of producers in mind already, or people you can already write with. Go and record that music. You don't need a manager to do that. And then, of course, again, you don't need a label to release with at the moment. You know, there are great distributors out there that are quite easy to set up releases with. There are things you can do. You know, you can look at getting on a PR company or something like that, or getting a plugger. Maybe you don't have to, but yeah, the kind of way that I discovered a couple of my acts was just because I came across their socials and I heard a song, and one of my acts, Naomi, I heard 15 second clip on Insta of her doing an acoustic version of one of her songs, and like that 15 seconds for me was enough to be like, oh okay, what's her story? I'll dig a little bit deeper. And like, she just had these demos that she had, and like, you know, we're hopefully going to be releasing her first tracks later on this year. Mm-hmm. So for me, decide what you want to record as an artist, get yourself some socials, start doing your own thing. And if it gets to a stage where you're releasing stuff and stuff's going on, you think you haven't been noticed and you're good enough, yeah, sure, by all means, make a short list of managers or companies that, you know, of acts that you respect, or you've liked the release campaigns of, or, you know, you like from a musical point of view, and get in contact with their agencies and their managers and introduce yourself.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, a lot of positives to show that if you go out there and do your own thing, release your own music, and a manager comes along, they can also see that you have a bit of get up and go, like to do things yourself, to be hands-on, which is only another positive, like in my eyes.
And it's that brand identity, I think, was what you're trying to nail on the head there. It's like, it's like having a succinct kind of direction and understanding of who you are, because I think some artists can get a little bit confused about what that means, or the direction that they're going. And if there's something really distinctive as well, and that's going to stand out from the crowd, that's attractive to, like, I think everybody in a team, like everything from a booking agent all the way through to the manager. But then on top of that, you've got to be able to have some sort of momentum, and also, you know, like, you know, no offense to you, but you're also coming in and taking a cut of the
money,
right? So
yeah,
I mean,
of course, that's how we work. Yeah.
So I mean, you kind of want it when you've got something to kind of give as well. So there's probably a little bit of that as well involved.
That's exactly it, really. And again, like, you know, the music industry, there's no one fit, there's no like one guaranteed way to success, otherwise, you know, everyone would be doing it. So, but from my experience, like, music is always about discovery, even for like people working in the industry. If people are always looking, you know, on streaming services, on social media, like to see what buzz is going on, of course, I talked about a few data analytic like websites and programs a bit earlier, and you know, the way the music industry is at the moment, if you've got something ticking along, sometimes there's like a red light that goes off somewhere that says, you know, that brings an alert to someone that, like, your socials are building, your streaming's building, like, you have something going on, like the fan base is building, which is always quite a key point, and something that, yeah, I think that's sometimes quite a key element, that if you can build, you know, I say a brand, I don't mean it in like a really horrible way, but like, if you can build your image into something that pulls people in, and you have a message, and you can open up a really clear pathway to engagement with fans, and, you know, and have a fan base, have people gravitate towards you, and your fan base grow like that, that, you know, is probably, some labels and some A&Rs will say, an equally big part of them taking on new artists. I imagine some would say it's probably bigger, to be honest, sometimes. So, but yeah, there's no set way of doing it, really. But for me, I mean, it's amazing if there's an act just releasing music, like, they, you know, they look great, like, they've got a really cool, clear message. They don't have to be the finished article, don't get me wrong, but it's reaching out to them and, like, seeing what's up and, like, hearing new music and demos. That's kind of the way I would probably discover the majority of my acts.
That's awesome. My final question to you is, what advice would you give someone then that's looking to become a manager?
Don't, I would say, like, yeah, of course, joking, but it is like, prepare yourself. I admit this isn't meant to sound, mm-hmm. Yeah, I've got to be careful here because I won't make it sound too dready, but it's definitely like, it isn't all side stage at Glastonbury, like big label advances, award ceremonies, you know, it is like, you know, to be blunt, like a long road, especially if you're starting out and you don't find that a diamond in the rough early doors. It can be quite a long road. You know, there's no fixed hours, as we chatted about before, especially if you're going to shows in the evening. Like, you know, you can have late nights, you can have reasonably early mornings. And yeah, and you brought it up before, actually, the way you earn your money as a manager is only through your act earning money. So especially with development acts at a very early stage of their career, there is going to be limited income. So I would say, yeah, if you're getting into management, be prepared that it's definitely a learning process. Like, even like, I won't tell you how old I am because it's embarrassing, but like you always carry on learning as a manager anyway. Your job is never done, especially with the changing industry. So yeah, the industry in general, maybe this is very obvious, but you'll get, I think you should be prepared as well. You get a lot more no's than yeses, like, especially with like your beginner acts. You really have to, like, you know, find the right teams and the right people. Again, if you find like this an amazing talent very early doors, congratulations, but it's a lot of work, a lot of meeting new people and talking on behalf and bigging up your artists. By all means, like, if that sounds, well, the one thing that I always love about working in management is, despite having to work in my front room all the time at the moment, there is no 2 days the same, really. It's always, you're working with different people, whether that's your acts, whether that's labels, publishers, you get to meet some really interesting people, create some really, like, some stuff you care a lot about. Yeah, there's no 2 days the same, which for me as a, so I'm trying to think of the right word here, but getting job satisfaction, like, yeah, I'm not the type of person who can sit and do the same thing every day for years and years and years. Like, you know, if you're the type of person that likes to be challenged, likes to learn different things, by all means, management is probably something you want to jump into. If, I guess, you want to start out, there are a couple of ways you can do it. One easier way, I guess, would to go and do a management course. Like, it's not something that I did. I don't think they were around when I was starting out. I think that probably gives a clue to my age a little bit. But go and do it. Like, if you feel comfortable, go and do a course. Like, you know, they will sit you down. They'll tell you the royalty rates, how stuff works. But there is also the route of just jumping in at the deep end and go and getting your hands dirty. Go to shows, meet bands, meet artists, build relationships, like, educate yourself on the industry. Like I said before, that it's always changing. So there's always something new for the older managers to learn that even the younger managers might be more experienced with. So, for example, I'm sure I speak on behalf of a lot of managers who recently discovered what, found out what NFTs were. You know, there's always something always something new to kind of educate yourself on. For me, maybe it sounds a bit silly, but like I bought a management book, a music industry book, early doors, to educate myself in the different sectors of the industry. Like as a manager, again, you'll have to deal with live agents, publishers, labels, like artists, PR companies. Like you'll have to deal with a lot of different people, and you'll have to be, whereas they can, you know, live agents can live in that world mostly, and a product manager at a label can live in that world. As a manager, you'll need to know what each of them do pretty well so you can keep on top of them when they're working for your artist. So go out there. There's a few books out there that can really get you educated on the music industry, and, you know, just learn the different sectors, what they do. Of course, there's only so much you can learn from a book. So like I said before, Brett, just prepare yourself to jump in at the deep end, go to shows, meet bands, set up. If you're starting out, like I was trying, it's easier said than done, but maybe try and get a band on board that you can start learning the process with. That's not to say that they need to be a guinea pig, but the best way to learn, I found it in this industry, is to be engulfed by it. Not in a negative way, but like, you know, be surrounded by it and learn on the go. All the successful managers, none of them would have like sailed through management and never made any mistakes. So, you know, for me personally, I think the biggest lessons I've learned in management is from mistakes that I've made in the past, or things that I've done in campaigns that I realize now that could have been done a different way. And as long as you're putting yourself in a position to make those mistakes and getting your hands dirty and stuff, then I think that's the best way to get involved with being a manager. And yeah, looking to become a manager. I will say as well, just like there are a few, you know, places that, like the MMF, obviously, the Music Managers Forum, they have like a great database and great educational information about management. I think they have a document called Management Expectations, which actually is pretty perfect. Like it's a much longer version of what I've just said, but it will give you a clear idea of what to expect as a manager. So I suggest going online, finding that if you can. Also signing up to the Music Managers Forum. I think it's like £100 a year, but they do seminars, web seminars at the moment, but they do used to do events, all really great educational beneficial stuff. And they also have something called the Accelerator Program, which is for managers that who have kind of are out the blocks quite well. It supplies like a bit of financial support and educational support as well. So they're like, by all means, if you're starting off as a manager, you need to first and foremost know that it's on you quite a lot, the stuff to learn. Go out there, meet people, ask questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions and not know the answer to something. It's all part of the process. But yeah, for me, I couldn't imagine doing anything else. Like it's super rewarding when, you know, things go well and, you know, you have a track streaming well, or you have a track going well at radio and one of your artists is on the up. Like it's such a rewarding part of the job, made a lot sweeter because of the hard work it took to get there. So yeah, hopefully that all made sense.
No, it definitely did. I think the hands-on experience is definitely something that I would definitely advocate for as well, and obviously knowing the theory behind it, so understanding all of that, so you've got to learn the rules to be able to break them, right?
yes, exactly. There you go. I'll get that tattooed on me. That is that's a quote.
Yeah. So last thing, I mean, we met on the Hypertribe Network, but where else do people find you?
I mean, I live and breathe on email. I'm a bit of an old school guy, so anyone's always welcome to email me. 9 times out of 10 you can find me on there and I'll reply to you pretty quickly. Obviously I'm on Hypertribe as well, so come there. And I have a Clubhouse account. I'm not quite sure I found my right place in Clubhouse yet, so but by all means, like, yeah, you can find me on there. And then talking about learning how to do new things, I've got a Discord account, which I really need to learn how to make the most out of that, because yeah, I see quite a lot of people really finding benefits from that channel at the moment. So yeah, you're welcome to find me on Insta, and if you really want to get in contact with me for any reason.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Lee. Thanks for coming on.
No, my pleasure. Thanks.